1045 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There's a ground stop at Chicago's O'Hare Airport because of snow and ice. There are more than 1,000 flights canceled as there are severe weather alerts in all 50 states. For many areas, the concern is extreme cold. That includes Kansas. Trisha Begley's ready.
We are making sure our heat's working, and we're making sure that we have lots of extra blankets.
And the weather having a major impact on the last days of campaigning ahead of Monday's caucuses in Iowa. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has canceled all three events that were scheduled for today. The FAA is increasing its oversight of Boeing and is going to audit the production of its products after last week's incident when a door plug blew off a 737 MAX 9. Houthis in Yemen say at least five people were killed, six were hurt in the overnight strikes led by the U.S. on Iranian-backed militias that followed months of attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is getting socked again with several inches of heavy snow today, tonight, and tomorrow. The National Weather Service predicts 6 to 12 inches. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heaviest of the snow is still tracking the same direction as the last one, headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
Brittany says the snow will be drier than Tuesday's and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles an hour. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is declining to reconsider its ruling ordering new legislative maps. Republicans asked the court to put the ruling on hold, saying they need more time. Consultants will issue their own report by February 1st. Maps for this year's elections need to be established by March 15th. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Authorities have identified the man who died in an Ashland County house fire on Monday evening. 70-year-old Donald Huell Jr.'s body was found inside the home after firefighters arrived at the scene of a fully engulfed structure fire on Sallow Road in the township of White River at around 5:30 p.m. After extinguishing the fire, authorities were able to remove Huell Jr.'s body from the home. Officials investigating the cause of the fire believe that it was accidental, and they do not consider it suspicious at this time. Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's task force on human trafficking has introduced a slate of bills in the legislature. One bill would create a human trafficking council to manage prevention programs, compile data, and require police to complete a trafficking training course. Other bills would make it easier for students from grades 7 to 12 and workers in fields most likely to interact with victims to report it to authorities. Another increases the maximum sentence for soliciting prostitution from 6 to 10 years in prison. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at five-serve form. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz, Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, you learn from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the wild card game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And after 24 years, the New England Patriots looking for a new head coach.
I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here. But at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's now former head coach Bill Belichick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We are keeping an eye on a winter storm that's going to bring snow and blowing snow today, tonight, into Saturday. We're looking at about 3 to 6 inches of snow with more to the south and east. Today, 25. The wind will kick in tonight. Gusts up to 40 to 45 will create blowing snow tonight and well into Saturday. After that, it's going to get really cold. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. I see you made it.
Yeah, I'm in one piece, but they are definitely rough out there.
Oh, man. It's Friday, so that means my co-host Sandy Williams is with us. Hey, good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm okay, and I didn't make it. I mean, I'm doing it from my house here, but I guess the weather's bad.
It's worse than bad, and I think I'll be coming back home on Blue Mound. You know, I'm not going to take the 94 was the parking lot. And there were so many accidents on 94. You know, when you're driving and you can, and the snow is accumulating, Sandy, so rapidly, and the wind is blowing, and you can't see the road, then it certainly does not make any sense for you to be driving 50 miles an hour. Your tires aren't even touching the road.
And yeah, well, why would anyone who lives in Wisconsin know how to drive in snow? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. They should know how to drive in snow. But, yeah, I know. People forget. It's like, what the hell? You just were doing this last year.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's not even so much that they forget. So here we are. We've got a parking lot. And nobody's going anywhere. And that emergency lane that is supposed to be for emergency vehicles in case of a situation like this, there are people driving down the emergency lane because, Sandy, of course, they've got somewhere they have to be. The rest of the thugs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're important people. Everyone else is.
And it frustrates you because you're wondering, man, if only we could figure out the license plates of all those loonies driving in the emergency lane. And then the police, I mean, the state patrol people who have to come down that emergency lane to get to the accident, Sandy, they're blocked in by people who are in the emergency lane.
Yeah, it's a day for citizen arrest.
Yes, it clearly is, and I wish I was in a position to do something about it. It really ticked me off, you know. And then the other thing is there's one lane open, so everything's filtering into one lane. If you're all the way in the lane on the right, Sandy, and the open lane is the one open lane is the one on the left. You certainly in the furthest lane on the right. It's going to be a while before you can filter all the way in to the one on the left, unless there's some drivers who are so terrified they let this guy, these guys come all the way from that lane on the right.
Well, that's when you use that gear on your transmission that says L. That L is L for leap. And R is for run. I forget what they stand for.
Anyway, man, it looks like they were absolutely right in what's coming, Sandy.
Yeah.
It's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. But anyway, you know, a lot to talk about, Sandy. How about them Bucks?
Unbelievable. Well, you know, they did catch the Celtics
at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, it was the third night in a row, I think, for the Celtics in three different cities.
Was it the third?
I think it was, yeah.
Well, you know, I had said it didn't matter. I didn't know anything about that, but I had predicted the Bucks would win that game because they absolutely had to have that game. Whether or not the Celtics would have been playing three nights in a row, that you were going to get the best of the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks were really aggressive on defense, and the Celtics were cold as ice in the beginning. So, you know, I don't know whether it was our defense that was causing them to be so cold or whether they just couldn't sink a basket. But it was pretty lopsided. So lopsided that the network that was carrying it nationally switched to another game.
Well, the Bucks were up by 38 points at halftime, Sandy.
Yeah.
And do you think the Celtics might remember that?
Oh, I think so. And they pulled their starters. I mean, they didn't pull the starters.
Well, yeah, at halftime, but the Bucks didn't pull their starters until, you know, going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
But look, let's talk about U.S.-led coalition strikes Iran-aligned Houthi militants in Yemen.
Yeah.
Sandy. You and I talked about this somewhat. Certainly what the Houthis were doing, they claim in response to Israel and the Palestinians or Israel and Gaza, hitting these, interfering in the lanes, the shipping lanes, was always going to be an issue. And so the United States last night, along with their partners, some partners, hit back and did some major damage. Now, is it not much to worry about, or do you think that this thing escalates?
Well, I don't know. The Houthis complain that claim that they've got 100,000. People in their military capable of participating in a military adventure, and their response to this was, "Well, we're gonna take our 100,000 people and join up with the Palestinians." Now, you know, if you look into the history of the Houthis and what's been going on there, I mean, there's been sort of a battle over control of Yemen for a number of years. The Houthis represent the Shia contingency who are anti-Saudi Arabia, very stridently anti-Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia neighbors Yemen and has sort of tried to cast its cloud over Yemen. Periodically, the Saudi Arabia, along with Western support, has tried to install in Yemen a Western sympathizer. And the Houthis most recently managed to throw that person out. And so the Houthis control the western shore of Yemen and the Red Sea portion of it. You know, I don't know whether Iran would be interested in supporting them in getting immersed in Israel itself. And the problem with the Middle East is that the leadership always speaks in hyperbole. You know, they talk about doing things that they aren't going to do.
Right, aren't capable of doing.
Well, yeah, and they sort of beat their breasts. So my guess is that they won't, that they should have expected that when they started attacking shipping from Maersk and other of the international shippers, that were going through the Suez Canal, that the West would join forces to defend the Suez Canal and access to it, because it's an important commercial place.
Sandy, it is a harrowing time. Is it safe to say that that we're certainly in a time frame where, you know, things could easily, we're in a slippery slope, and things could easily escalate where we find ourselves engaged in something major?
Well, yeah, we are. I mean, I think that, and it's mainly because we no longer have the ease of the Cold War, where there were one set of good guys and one set of bad guys, and the world divided, and it was easy to understand. Every decade since the collapse of the Soviet Union, international affairs has gotten more complicated because it's become more fractionalized. So we have in the Mideast, we used to simplify it in our minds and think of it all as one big Arab area, but the fact is it isn't. And there are all kinds of schisms, groups potentially at war with one another, the Kurds, the Shias, the Sunnis. We can watch ISIS as it was taken on by Syria. So it's complicated. And people who want to simplify it, who want to suggest that the United States, by exercising its muscle, can keep all of this, tamp all of this down and keep it from happening, are just wrong.
So, Sandy, who do we go to war with? I mean, the Hutus, it's not like they're a nation. And so when we say that we're possibly going to go to war with the Hutus, where do you begin? Where are they located?
The Houthi are, in fact, one of the things that's happening right now is that Saudi Arabia is negotiating to try and reach an agreement with to have diplomatic relations with Iran. And part of that diplomacy and part of that discussion is the possibility that Saudi Arabia will recognize the Houthis as the actual government of the northern and western Yemen. And that would legitimize them. But right now they are just an insurrectionist group in Yemen. And so that does make it difficult. But even if they were the government of Yemen, I think it gets harder as these countries get smaller and things are more fractionalized for the United States to put its troops on the ground. And it all becomes something much more like Ukraine, where we decide who it is that we're going to support with missiles and armaments. And all of that gets more difficult and more complicated the more situations we're trying to deal with.
So let me ask you, Sandy, as all of these things ramp up and an election, a presidential election, this year, clearly all of these things collectively can be an albatross. Is it safe to say that around?
Well, yes. And I just was reading, I read an opinion piece in Fox News. And of course,
Sandy, hold a thought.
Yeah.
First off, I have to say, hey, Calvin, is there anything you can do about preventing Sandy from reading an opinion piece on Fox News?
I think that's out of my pay grade.
844-967-2789. My friend, we'll let you respond on the other side. I've been there. I've done the exact same thing. All right.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Wins. And Sandy, I didn't mean, you know, I mean, it's not like I don't read Fox or watch Fox News myself. It was mild attempt at humor, but go ahead.
No, no, God, no. It's a horrifying thing to do. It's horrifying. It was like the whole thing was premised on concepts that had little to do with factual, you know. I kept wanting to do the fact check to get behind it. But the fact is that a primary argument that's going to be coming from the opponents to Biden as he runs for election is that all of this stuff wouldn't have happened
right,
if Donald Trump had been president, which of course is a negative you can't prove. It's an unprovable concept. And it's an undisprovable concept as well. But I'm confident that, for instance, Trump had put all of his eggs in the basket of Netanyahu. And Netanyahu was in power. And what happened in Israel happened with Netanyahu on the watch. And I don't think there's any connection that could have been made with the notion that Donald Trump in power in the United States would have kept it from happening, or that the United States would have been expected to do anything more powerful in response to it. And just yesterday we had this attack that was approved by Biden, which is probably going to get some criticism from the left.
It already has.
Which, you know, because, you know, the presidential powers to do such things unilaterally keep getting tested and strained. But, I don't think there's any notion that Joe Biden has a weaker hand on the wheel. If anything, he's been more militant and had a reaction that's been more rigorous vis-a-vis Ukraine than would have been expected from Trump or now with respect to the Houthis in Yemen. So,
well, you know, Biden has always been a hawk. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean, but yeah, you're right. He's been a hawk, but the fact is that it's easy to say, well, anything that happens that's bad wouldn't have happened the other guy had been in power. There's no basis for that.
We hear that every time we're on. Let's go to the phone lines and David from MEC1. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know what? I've said this repeatedly to both of you for quite a while now. I think we really are in the beginning stages of having the Third World War. And the reason why I say that is if you look at the overall larger actors involved with this and who is, you know, like as we've already talked about the proxy war end of things, where we're supplying a tremendous amount of military might along with Europe in general to Ukraine. That's number one. I think Norway they just are giving Ukraine, 16 F-15 jets. What do you think they're going to do with those? They're going to use that against Russia. They're going to bomb the crap out of Russia. And what I worry about, so if you look back to the Second World War.
Well, Dave, just let's just talk a minute about world wars and what it is that defines them, because it's being used now as sort of a boogeyman declaration. But first of all, the F-15s that are being given, my understanding is that they're being restricted to being used over Ukraine territory. And so far, Ukraine has more or less abided by the restrictions we've imposed on them with respect to the use of armaments in Russian territory. I think that what's going on is the intention is with these fighters to use them to avoid Russian air superiority over Ukraine, okay, which is a far different thing than just assuming that they're going to be used to, as you say, bomb the crap out of Russia. There's been very little of that. The most recent attack was on Volgograd. Volgograd's about 60 kilometers, meaning 36 miles from the border of Ukraine, and it's an oil depot. So, you know, I think we can, to use terms like World War III begs the question of, first of all, what is a World War III? And secondly, why do we think that Ukraine having fighter planes is going to be the beginning of World War III? Russia itself has been quite restricted in the way it's used things. I mean, my sense is that both sides are doing what's necessary to avoid it turning into that.
I would like to respond to that. So in regards with that, the reason why, and maybe this is where you and I totally disagree with what actually is happening. If you look at Russia is coalescing with Russia, Russia is also coalescing with North Korea. You look at Iran, they're trying to bring them into the mix. And if you look at Germany, Germany originally started, the Second World War on their own. Then they end up getting Mussolini, in Italy. And then
hey David, we don't have time to go through the history. Okay, so go ahead.
But my point is, and then Japan, of course, was joining the Axis back then. And you see the same combination happening today, slowly but surely. Putin and Xi have been, shaking hands quite a bit, making deals, trying to figure out how we're going to trade technologies and everything else. And they have a much different idea of the way they want to see the world. And I think, Sandy, you may disagree with me, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's been progressing.
Hey David, let me ask you a question. Is there a law against Russia and China coalescing? America has all sorts of allies. Is that such an alarming thing that we should somehow have an intervention to stop Russia and China from coalescing?
Well, and let's just say that the reason for it, first of all, these two are natural enemies, not natural allies, And the main reason for what looks like coalescing right now are the sanctions we've imposed on Russia. China's decided not to recognize the sanctions, and therefore Russia has become the biggest purchaser of domestic automobiles from China in the world. Okay, it's the biggest customer. It's happened overnight. It's happened because the Western sanctions shut down all of the Western automobile manufacturing in Russia and embargoed the importation of them to Russia. And so, much of what's happening with respect to what we call coalescence is just people we have tried to corner. Iran. We have sanctioned Iran to the point where the only people they can deal with are the people who don't recognize
the
sanctions.
So, Sandy, hang on. David, hang on. We'll carry it over after this short hiatus, and I think it's an important enough conversation. Tom, I see you will incorporate you as well. 844-967-2789.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Mm-hmm. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another snowstorm is hitting Wisconsin with worsening conditions throughout the afternoon and nighttime. Snowfall will be heavy at times and winds could gust over 50 miles an hour, leading to blizzard conditions. The Wisconsin legislature could work a lot differently after this year's elections with new redrawn districts. Whichever party wins the majority, Democrats say the new landscape bodes well for popular ideas.
I would point to Medicaid expansion, gun safety legislation, legalizing recreational marijuana that have overwhelming public support and really are receiving no attention in the state legislature because of the gerrymandered maps.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A popular site for skiing and snowboarding is officially reopening with the arrival of typical winter weather. Chester Bowl announced on their Facebook page that as of Thursday, their ski and snowboard hill is reopening. Staff and volunteers have been working tirelessly to prepare the hill as warm weather kept snow away, but now they feel as though they have a good base of snow to open with. Staff will also be offering more lessons after missing a number due to the weather, offering lessons on January 15th and 22nd. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking residents to keep an eye out for emerald ash borer this winter. According to a press release, trees that are infested with emerald ash borer may show signs of woodpecker damage, as the birds will often peck at the tree's bark to find the larva underneath. Emerald ash borer are considered to be an invasive species and kill an estimated 99% of the trees they infest if left untreated. If residents see signs of woodpecker damage on ash trees, they should contact the DNR. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at Fiserv Forum. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz. Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, you learn from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the Wild Card game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And after 24 years, the New England Patriots looking for a new head coach.
I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here. But at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's now former head coach Bill Belichick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We are keeping an eye on a winter storm that's going to bring snow and blowing snow today, tonight, into Saturday. We're looking at about 3 to 6 inches of snow with more to the south and east. Today, 25. The wind will kick in tonight. Gusts up to 40 to 45 will create blowing snow tonight and well into Saturday. After that, it's going to get really cold. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 3 above.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
See the love, the love.
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Let me just...
Let me say this to the listening audience.
We're
talking about, the retaliation by the United States and some of our allies on the Houthi militants in Yemen on last night, and whether or not this is ramping up, what may wind up to be something very serious this coming year. And Sandy and I, we've got David on from MechOne, who seems to think that we're headed into World War III. And Sandy, you were saying.
Well, I just wanted to kind of redirect, because I found myself falling into the kind of habit of being reactive to what David was saying. And instead, I think what we should do is, because we don't know, it's we're looking into a crystal ball, what's going to be in the future. And we do know that we've got lots of hotspots in the country, in the world. And we do know that those hotspots are getting related to one another to some extent because of the sanctions we're imposing and we're pushing people right into one another's arms. But we do have, for instance, North Korea probably providing arms to Russia. We have Iran providing missiles and things to Russia relating to Ukraine. We have Russia in the position to provide technology to North Korea and to Iran. So, you know, we are creating a bit of a bigger scale opponent. So my question, not with respect to Dave, is, okay, if you think that we're headed to World War III, what should we be doing? You know, what is the proper response of the United States going forward, if that's your prognosis?
All right. So to answer your question, Sandy, I would ask you to do me a favor, and Calvin can put the article up for you. It's from the Center of European Policy.
I just want to know
what you think. I'm not questioning anymore your assumption that we're headed towards that we've got these bad actors lining up with each other and potentially perform. My question is, what should America's reaction be today if your assumption or the assumptions in that article you want me to read are correct?
It's not assumptions. It's from December 1st. They show they laid out exactly.
I don't care. Let's just take whatever the facts are that they lay out. Fine. What should America's policy be going forward, given whatever it is that you're looking at or thinking about?
This is not even American policy. This is about a couple of superpowers getting together to try to throw.
Dave,
off
Dave, stop. Dave, Dave,
thank
Dave,
you very much.
Dave, stop.
Call. Sandy, that's okay. Dave. We've got other callers. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, let me just say that with respect to, this is what we end up doing. We end up arguing about factual situations, and instead of arguing about policies that we should be implementing because of those factual situations, because what's happening now is that these factual situations are being described, and then they're saying, but these things wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump was president.
Right.
I mean, as far as I can tell, that's as far as the opponents get when they start talking about such things, and I don't understand that logic.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for hanging on. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, go Pack Go on Sunday. Second, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. What we need more in this world is we need more democracy and less authoritarians. And America, wake up, realize that the more authoritarians you get, the less government you get, the less we the people government you get. And then you have these breakoff groups and these terrorist groups and all these other people that are not legitimate governments. And then you don't know who the enemy is, unfortunately. Sandy, I'd like you to riff a little bit on the Budapest Accord, because that was one of the reasons
why we did get involved in Ukraine in the first place after doing some research on it, in that, originally Ukraine, dropped all of their military might and
nuclear
bombed. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what the Budapest Accord was, essentially both Russia and the United States were paranoid about a corrupt country like Ukraine, as corrupt as it was in the early 90s, having all of the nuclear arsenal that was located there under the aegis of the Soviet Union. And so there was a negotiation which resulted in the Budapest Accord, in which Russia and the United States agreed that those nuclear weapons would be given to Russia, actually, taken out of Ukraine. And both Russia and the United States agreed that they would protect the sovereignty of Ukraine in response to that.
So Tom, I wasn't looking to focus on any individual war. I was looking to focus on the fact that, you know, all of these things collectively, what's going on in Israel, what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on, what's getting ready to happen, all of those things collectively, and what those things will mean.
Because of these authoritarian leaders. It's happening because Benjamin Netanyahu wants to stay out of jail. It's happening because Donald Trump actually uses Russia and these people as their bankers and Saudi Arabia. I really give Joe Biden a lot of credit because what he's doing is actually unpopular with his progressive left base. I would like to say, I'd like to see us go back to the Smugly Butler type of policy, which was there was no profit being made off of war. And let's see what would happen then if all of a sudden nobody could be making profit off of these arms and off of war, because I think we would see a lot less war and a lot more communication. But I do give Joe Biden credit. I am happy that he is our president, because I feel more safe and secure with this guy than I would to someone that's just going to give the keys to the kingdom, for the next thing that he can actually grift on the American people and try to make money.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. CJ, go ahead.
Well, yeah, certainly don't look back to see what got us here, Sandy. Started with they're sensing weakness all over the world. Don't focus on what caused us. Peace through strength, that's not Joe Biden's plan.
Well, CJ, clearly, man, you the platitudes, you know, this is happening because we've been weak. The United States has never shown any weakness. Our military might is on display, and it has been, whether it is a Democrat or a Republican. The world knows, the world is aware. They don't say, well, okay, America's weak because Joe Biden is there. They know the military might and power of our nation. And every time you call and say that we're showing weakness because of one man, it's folly.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now we've got oil tankers that have been seized. You know, you can have a wish list. This is all underneath one president. You can say it's happened somewhere else. It didn't. It's underneath this weak, butchered president.
Hey, Sandy, can you help me remember? Because I don't, my memory is not as well. But when Donald Trump was president, when those tankers were held up in the suit,
The Suez Canal got jammed up.
Yeah, was Donald Trump the president then?
Yeah, he was president then, but that had to do with an accident as well.
Yeah.
But it's really just a coincidence. It all depends. You can try and attribute cause to coincidence, or you can describe coincidence and cause. But the fact is that the response of the United States to all of the situations that have arisen has been extreme power, to the point where the Republicans want to pull in their horns. The Republicans are now saying, pull in your horns in Ukraine. We're not prepared to do the powerful things that you're asking for. And so, I'm just not sure that it's fair to describe a partisan difference or the notion that this stuff wouldn't have happened under Donald Trump. Like I said, it's a negative you can't disprove. It's a fine thing to say. The question is whether it's credible.
Go ahead, CJ. CJ? All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you get to a point where these are serious issues. They certainly, at a time of a presidential election, these things, there are progressives who are speaking out against this attack last night. They're saying that the president of the United States does not have unilateral authority or power to do these things without coming to Congress. You know, I don't know who's right in that situation. The United States government believes, or the president of the United States believes, he has the authority and the power to do it because he did it. Congress is now, a progressive Congress, people are saying, no, he did not have a right to declare to do this unilaterally. We've seen this done unilaterally by other presidents before, haven't we?
Well, we have, but you know, the unilateral power of the president, it depends on who's the president, whether you like it or not, right? So I think that there should be a basic political interest in the powers of the presidency, because who inhabits the presidency can change from year to year. We've noticed this with stark reality over the past 10 years. So I do agree that the power of the presidency needs to have constraints, and particularly with respect to it, the ability of the president to get the United States into warfare. And unfortunately, for the last 50 years, ever since the Tonkin Resolution, which was the beginning of extreme presidential powers that allowed LBJ to get us heavily involved in Vietnam.
Right.
Ever since that time, the power of the presidency to take actions militarily has become quite unfettered. And when you look backwards in time, we can wish that maybe it was a bit more fettered.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, all of these things that are happening simultaneously certainly warrant us being awake as a nation. And sometimes I'm kind of afraid that we are not awake as a nation during these times, and we could wind up in something major before we become awake. And that's my fear. If we can see these things coming ahead of time, if you and I can be the town crier or the warners of what, you know, we see, you know, it's one of the reasons why you and I spend this kind of time and dialogue talking about these issues, because you don't hear it in many instances in many other places. And I'm always honored to be able to have you and hear your points of view on these things, because these are serious issues in this nation that have to be discussed, and they have to have priority. At least all the other things that we do in this nation won't matter a hill of beans if we wind up with ourselves in a horrible situation that is going to dictate resources from all these other things. Got to take a short hiatus. 844-967-2789. Sandy, when we come back, I want to talk about Lloyd Austin. We'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number as we flash back to the early 1960s. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Good morning to you, Wisco Paul. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Hey, I just wanted to say, respond to CJ a little bit here. It's nice you guys let him talk every day. But you have to remember one thing about Trump. He will never do anything that does not benefit him. He doesn't care about the American people. I mean, he's on record. And he's just, at this point, trying to stay out of jail. But Biden is trying to do what's best for the whole country, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent. I mean, he's trying his darnest. He inherited a mess. CJ will disagree with that, but it was a mess. And I wish the Democrats would focus more on everything that Joe has done good, the president. And that's my take today. Trump will never do anything but what benefits Trump himself.
Hey,
so you guys have a great day.
Hey, Wisco Paul, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin had a procedure, prostate cancer procedure. He went in the hospital. He had emergency surgery done. He didn't inform the president, the White House, of the fact that he had this surgery done. And there are people calling for him to be fired. That what he did was so egregious. Help me understand, or help us understand. Clearly, one individual, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is not controlled solely by one guy, is it, Sandy? I don't know.
No, the chain of command is the president to the Joint Chiefs, and the defense secretary does not stand between the president and the Joint Chiefs in terms of the line of power. Obviously, the defense secretary is a person who is put in that position because they are respected for their savvy about opinions, and so it, you know, that's an important secretary position. And I have no doubt that in a business, someone who made themselves, who became unavailable and gave no notice that they might be in a position where they'd be unavailable would be chastised for it. And I think that Austin has been chastised for it. I think the White House has said we can't let that happen again. Well, you know, the notion that that's grounds for impeachment or firing, like is being talked about in Washington, strikes me as silly. You know, it would only be the case that if someone should be fired for that, if it much like Jair Alexander, when the answer was, well, it wasn't just the one thing, right? So if it isn't just the one thing about Austin, then, you know, maybe this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. But I'm not aware that he's been subjected to any sort of broadside criticism.
What I would ask you, Sandy, is a man in that position that they think enough of to put him in that position, right?
Yeah.
You would think then that they had confidence enough in that man that he's there. And so, you know, there are even Democrats who are saying, well, he should be dismissed. And I'm saying, well, okay. And then they're using this rationale. Well, I guess we were looking to retaliate against the Houthis, and he wasn't around for them to plan out what it was they did. This is how they found out. And so they're frustrated because of that.
Well, like I said, you know, it's a management decision as to whether, and my sense is that you wouldn't dismiss someone for one mistake unless it was contributing to a pile of mistakes. So I don't know the background behind that, but
right.
My reaction to it was there's a kind of a mountain out of a molehill.
That's what
They started looking at, you know, the time that Dwight Eisenhower, they covered up the fact that he had a heart attack. But, well, he's not the president. You know, if the president did such a thing, I think there'd be real grounds for extreme criticism. But I have a little more problem with the mountain that's being made out of this.
Yeah. I mean, Sandy, the way I looked at it was kind of the same thing. If you've got enough confidence in this man, he didn't, as the attorney for Donald Trump said the other day, Donald Trump didn't kill anybody. Well, you know, Lloyd Austin didn't kill anybody. For heaven's sakes, you know, he had a serious procedure done.
Well, you know, Donald Trump had a parade of defense secretaries. we'd be hard pressed to name all of them if we sat down for a second to try and come up with a list.
844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. You can join us
8449-6789. Wood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.